Crowds of people are flocking around you in the shopping district, and you don't care who's there because you know there's always somebody there. You might hold your pockets a little bit to make sure that you keep everything you have, but you don't care who is really there. So you would expect these guys would look at Jesus to find out who is he. But it says that they mistook him for a stranger. And they said to him, "Are you the only stranger in these parts who did not know what happened over the last little while?" And it says that eventually when they sat down and broke bread, that is when they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning when he talked to us on the country road?" So it looks like, based on a heartburn, they were convinced that this was Jesus that they saw. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus, on one occasion, that same Sunday evening, he appeared to his disciples when they were sitting around at a banquet table. But one of the disciples was not there on that occasion, the disciple named Thomas. And when the rest of them told Thomas, "You know, Jesus was here," Thomas said, "Unless I put my finger in the nail wound and put my hand in the side wound, I'm not going to believe." Now let me ask you, why would Thomas say something so curious as this? Why didn't he just simply say, "Unless I see him myself, I won't believe him"? Because all Thomas really needs to do is to see him, right? Does he need to see a nail wound or a side wound? No. He just has to see him and he says, "Oh, Jesus! Is that you? Really, Jesus? I love you." But he says, "Unless I put my finger in the nail wound and I put my hand in the side wound, I'm not going to believe." So what does he want to check for? He wants to check to make sure that this is really a crucified man. And then eventually Jesus does come back when he's there, and Jesus says, "Come, Thomas, put your finger here. Come, Thomas, put your hand here." And Thomas obviously comes forward and does it, and he says, "My Lord and my God." So all you can say here is that whatever appeared to the disciples is a crucified man, well enough, but who does not look like Jesus and does not sound like Jesus. On one occasion, you see the Gospel of John, remember that's the last of the four to be written, right? The Gospel of John is at pains to try and make you convinced that, yeah, Jesus appeared to them and they were sure they saw Jesus and everything is fine. But even when it tells you that, you can see, some of you might be speaking English as a second language, but when I read, when I read what John wrote, it hits me like a ton of bricks. I see there's a major problem there. John says that on one occasion, Jesus cooked a breakfast for his disciples. And when they came and they sat there around him to eat that breakfast, it says, none of them dared to ask him who he was, because they were sure it is the Lord. What do you mean nobody dared to ask him who he was because they were sure it was the Lord? You really mean they wanted to ask him, but they didn't dare to ask? You really mean they weren't sure? And that is a problem. It's an ongoing problem that is there. So much so that Christian scholars recognize that this is a problem. So then in sum, let me retrace my steps then very quickly. We looked at the Quranic verses. The Quranic verses do not solve the mystery about the end of Jesus' life. The Quranic verses gives us some hints. It gives us some terms which I would include under the mutashabihat. Something there happened to Isa alayhi salam which is not entirely clear. But Muslim commentators, putting all the verses together and hadith dealing with the issue, say generally that Isa alayhi salam was not crucified. An attempt was made on his life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered him and raised him up into heaven. And instead, someone was made to look like Jesus. Possibly this was the very man who came to arrest Jesus, who betrayed him to the enemy, was made to look like Jesus, and he was crucified instead. In the meantime, Jesus alayhi salam remains alive, and before the day of judgment, Isa alayhi salam will be made to descend again, and he will rule according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Christians will come to say to you, "Man, you guys have really got it wrong. You believe in a book that came 600 years after Jesus. We can't believe in that book. It is an established fact of history that Jesus was crucified. So we say, all right, well, let's think about that for a moment. If you say Jesus was crucified, what does that prove? You say it proves that he was the false Messiah. But you say you can also prove he was the true Messiah by proving that he resurrected from the dead. So you say, okay, wise guy, prove it to me now. So you just convince me that he was crucified. That, you say, is the accepted fact of history. Okay, suppose I put my Quran aside. Suppose I pretend for a Muslim for a moment that I'm not a Muslim. What would I conclude? That Jesus was crucified. What does that imply? False Messiah. Okay, now somebody has to prove to me that he resurrected from the dead. Prove it to me. Now he brings you the four Gospels. Are these good proofs? No. Because we see the story changing before our very eyes. From Mark to Matthew and Luke, and then finally to John. We see no good evidence over here, lots of evidence over here. We see the evidence conflicting with each other over time. If you make your notes carefully, how many people went to the tomb, when they went, whom did they see, in what condition did they find the tomb, what did the person tell them, whether it was a man or two men or an angel or two angels, what message did they get, what did they do with that message, whom did they tell, did they even tell anyone? All of that you will find contradictory answers for among the four Gospels, and it's just because the Gospel writers were trying to improve the story along the way as they went. Moreover, even if you take the stories as they are and you try to give them a sympathetic hearing, you see that the evidence is not convincing. Somebody says, you know, my heart was burning on the country road, so I'm sure that was Jesus. Or somebody says, well, you know, I made sure he had those crucifixion wounds. This was definitely a crucified man. Well, that could have been any crucified man, right? Crucified man doesn't mean he's necessarily dead. It takes a while for a man to be killed on a cross. And according to the Gospels, Jesus, alayhi salam, was only there for about 3 hours on the cross. A man might be there for 3 days and still finally, and then eventually expire after 3 days. So then, if a man was taken down from the cross early enough, he would still be alive. And if they saw a man who had the wounds of crucifixion, that does not mean that they saw Isa alayhi salam, especially if the man didn't look like Isa alayhi salam and didn't sound like Isa alayhi salam. So finally then, to put it in a nutshell, if we were to believe in the Quran, we believe in Isa alayhi salam. We believe he is the true Messiah, because this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that couldn't lie. Whether it comes 600 years later or 6 million years later makes no difference to us. That is the book of Allah. We believe in Isa alayhi salam on the credibility of this book itself. But if they say, leave the Quran aside for a moment and go with our Gospels, we would come to the crucifixion. That's easy enough to believe that a man was crucified. We say, okay, so he was crucified. Okay, I believe that with you. So what does that mean? He's the false Messiah. You want to prove to me that he's the true Messiah? Go ahead and prove that he was resurrected from the dead. Now, the evidence you give me is not good enough. I cannot conclude that with you. Therefore, I must remain on the first conclusion that he is the false Messiah. So if I believe in the Quran, he is the true Messiah. If I believe in your Bible, as much as a reasonable person could believe, he is the false Messiah. He would say to you, well, wait a minute. You believed in the Bible only in so far as proving that he was crucified. Why not believe in the Bible some more in believing that he was resurrected from the dead? And you should say, well, when the Bible says that he was crucified, that's not difficult for a person to believe. If you tell me a man was executed, I have no difficulty believing that. I'm not going to ask you, what did you eat for breakfast? What kind of drugs are you on? Because if you tell me a man was executed, that's easy enough to believe. But if you tell me, you know the guy who was executed in Texas last Monday on the electric chair? You saw him writhing and dancing around and finally expiring on television? You know that guy, he's still alive. I just saw him this morning. He will say, well, wait a minute, my friend. What kind of cereal do you eat for breakfast? You're high on something, man. Prove to me, where do you read this stuff? Is it in the National Enquirer? Or where is it? Give me good evidence. So now you're demanding evidence. So a reasonable person then, if you believe in the Quran, you believe that Isa alayhi salam is true, if they say, no, we can't listen to your Quran, listen to our Gospels, we would have to conclude that Isa alayhi salam is the false Messiah. So then, the only way that a reasonable person could believe in Isa alayhi salam today is by believing in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious Quran. In fact, I just stumbled upon this as I was reviewing the arguments from the Christian missionaries themselves. They didn't say directly that Isa alayhi salam, that there is this problem with Isa alayhi salam and the crucifixion, but by what they have said in their trying to prove that he resurrected from the dead, they actually let the cat out of the bag and they exposed to me a major problem regarding the crucifixion. And that is what I shared with you. I want all Muslims to know this, because people come knocking on your doors telling you not to believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want you to have the ready answer for that. I hope that I've helped you in some way with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength, the tawfiq, and the discipline to always stand up and preach His word far and wide, and to stand up for the truth and for justice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sorry I took up so much of your time. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Shukran.
شكرا.